For someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
All right, let's start from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll read verses 9 to 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. See, we need to learn to open our Bibles very fast. I remember when I was in secondary school, we used to have this competition in the fellowship. They called it Draw Your Sword. Hold your Bible like that. Everybody get ready. Then either they quote a verse of the Bible or say a particular reference, and the first person to find it, stick his finger there and step forward. I'm to tell your neighbor, draw your sword. See, why did we call it the sword? Ephesians 6:17 says the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And see, when you are at the battle front, you don't have time to waste looking for your sword. The first person to draw the sword may be the winner of the battle. Amen. Good. Learn to open your Bibles fast. First, please let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That will be your testimony. Once I was this, now I am that. We're discussing on transformation of character. I read in the newspapers yesterday of a young man, SS3 student, who led an armed robbery gang to rob somebody of his vehicle. SS3 student formed and led an armed robbery gang. And when he was caught by the police, he said, he was trying to get money to pay for his examination, the school certificate examination. He could not find the money. And he watched his friends write the examination. He was offered space to repeat SS3. And he said the way things were going, he saw again that he would not be able to afford to pay for the examination. And that he saw that there was so much unfairness in this country, that wealth was distributed unfairly, so he decided to take it out on the rich. That's why he formed an armed robbery gang. The state of our nation, our country with all its natural and human resources, teeters on the brink of destruction, not because it does not have wealth, but because it has lost its moral compass. When you don't have values, you don't have value. And the last 2 decades, we have seen the destruction and the erosion of the values that have undergirded us as a nation and that could make our success possible. We must address our corruption from its root. It's good that we're conscious we need to fight corruption, but I do not see a corrupt political system solving the problem of corruption. I think that the only institution that has the capacity to solve the problem of corruption in our country is the church. Last week we began this discussion and we said it all begins from the heart. It's about the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. A good man from his heart brings forth good things. An evil man from his heart brings forth evil things. And I do not see our educational system being able to bring such correction to our hearts. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the prophet described the capacity of the human spirit to create and to invent destruction and evil. He said, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's the question the prophet asked. Who can know it? Man's heart has the capacity to create beauty, ultimate glory. Also, man's heart has the capacity to invent evil of different kinds and dimensions. I was studying up late in the night, Thursday night, when I stumbled on the news that had just been uploaded on the Yahoo page about the plane that crashed into the Hudson River in New York. Talk about the capacity of the human spirit. Such beauty. A plane with a total of 155 people takes off from the airport, runs into some birds. Those birds hit the engine and kill the two engines. The plane lost its two engines while trying to ascend. Just left the airport. And the pilot was able to carefully guide the plane. He wanted to take it back to the airport, saw it couldn't get there, and stayed on the river. Landed on the river. And every single person came out alive. Such beauty. Ain't that beautiful? Oh God. And the pilot is now a hero. I mean. Landed on the water. Immediately they opened the exit doors. The rafts were there. Some people came out on the wings of the aircraft. If you saw the picture, you know, because their feet were underwater while they were standing on the wings of the plane. So it seemed as if they were walking on water. Okay? And then, of course, not far from there were commercial ferries and boats, and those ones stopped all their operations and just rushed all their boats there within some 3 minutes or so. And they took all those people off. Such beauty. Potential disaster, but such beauty. At the same time, you have pirates off the coast of Somalia inventing evil strategies. And you have people in Nigeria, both in government offices and private offices, inventing sophisticated formulae for taking money that does not belong to them. The capacity of the human heart. The prophet said that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man loses his capacity for beauty, for glory, when he takes God from the place that belongs to him in the human heart. Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul describes the scenario. I read from verse 20. For since the creation of the world, these invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see that? Sometimes man just doesn't enjoy the control that God brings into his life. When he gives God God's place, God exercises lordship over man, and man just doesn't like that control. So he takes God out and replaces God with himself. He said they began to worship the creature instead of the creator. You know, it was popularly believed for a long time that it was the sun that revolved around the earth. Man likes to hear that. That's what he wants to believe. In fact, the scientist Galileo, who tried to prove that it was the other way around, they burnt him. They hanged him on the stakes for daring to say that the earth was not the center of the universe. But eventually, science has proven it. The sun that throws the light out and makes life possible on this earth, it's the sun that is stationary, and that represents God. Everything else revolves around him. When man chooses not to revolve around God anymore, not to make God the center of his universe, he is lost. That is our state, lost. That is mankind's state, lost. So, if you jump to verse 28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." That's it. Once you take God out of the heart of man, man malfunctions like a faulty computer. And then the capacity that God gave him to create, he unleashes it on creating evil. Let's see what people do from verse 29. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." That's it. See, the depths of emotional fulfillment that God has provided for man, the joy, the kind that God births in the human spirit, in spite of circumstances, the peace that passes all understanding, the love that God puts in there, the generosity, okay, the selflessness, the capacity for patience that God births in the person, they are all lost when we take God out of his place in our hearts. But then we must find some way to satisfy those needs or the need for those emotions. That's what leads to all those things that man does. See, the Apostle Paul said there that they had to begin to satisfy the cravings of their bodies and began to lust against one another. Any society that takes God out of his place will give in to sexual immorality, because sex is one of the strongest emotions known to man. It gives us the kicks. So sex is glamorized. And then, like drugs or any of those artificial things that give us fulfillment, we never have enough. Whatever we have satisfies us for some time, and then it is not enough any longer. Jesus said to the woman by the well of Samaria, "Whoever drinks of the water of this life will thirst again. Whoever drinks of the water of life that I have to give, it will be in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." His joy, his fulfillment, happiness will be internally produced. So, sex and more sex. And then, when the level of satisfaction is limited, then you have homosexuality and lesbianism. And then man invents sex toys. And then you have sex shops. And you see, I see all that coming into our country now. If we don't give God his place, we will have to invent evil things to keep ourselves happy. So now we have strip clubs in our country. In fact, in our neighborhood here, where people go to watch the naked bodies of women who are dancing naked. Then they say, if you pay a little more, in fact, you can have one come and dance on your lap. And then if you pay a little more, you can cuckoo carry that one home. When we cannot get the fulfillment, the kind that God provides, we overvalue material things. That's covetousness. We want joy, and we want it from buying cars. We want it from buying houses. We want it from having a lot of money in the account. And we do not realize that many of those things that we do are proof that we are spiritually sick. When a person can afford to take 5 billion naira, 10 billion naira, 17 billion naira of money that belongs to everybody else and steals it, the person is sick. There's no amount of material acquisition, no amount of sex that will fill the gap, the hole in your spirit when you take God out. See the level of insecurity in our country. See our desperation for material things, our insecurity. And see the inventions by our young people sitting in front of computers and through the internet creating all those things by which they defraud people all over the world. Where will it end? I fear for this country. If we don't stop on this path of destruction, I fear. I have faith for this nation. I am passionate about the transformation of this country. But I hope that this country will not, first of all, experience massive destruction before God has the opportunity of building it back. There is need for change. And that change has got to be now. Amen. Until we change inside, we're not going to change outside. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, 25, he said, "You hypocrites, you Pharisees, you wash the outside of a cup and you leave the inside dirty. You're like whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. You focus on outward success, but inside you are rotting." He said, clean the inside of the cup first. The outside would automatically be clean. That's where we have to start from. This war on corruption is a waste of time. If something doesn't happen to the heart of the average Nigerian. Now, my point today is, when it comes to changing the human heart, there is no human being that can do it. You see, what slows us down on the path of transformation is our denial. Denial. We're not accepting that we're wrong. We're pontificating. We're pretending. We're hypocritical. And when I say things are wrong, I don't mean just outside, even inside the church. Even though we are born again, our human heart still have the capacity to mess up big time. That's why you've seen people, including men of God, highly rated, you've seen them fumble, mess up. And it's because of the capacity of the human spirit if we don't deal with some of its tendencies. We don't like to look in the mirror and admit that the person we're looking at has issues. That we have weaknesses. Because it is not convenient to tell yourself the truth. We need to look in the mirror and tell the person we see there, you know what? You have a problem with malice. You may have been in the church for 20 years, but in this area of your life, there's a weakness. You have a problem with lust. You have a problem with money. You have a problem with lying. You have a problem with being honest. Okay? And then ask God for help. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. Look at all the things we're overlooking in our country now. We've become shameless. other people from other parts of the world will look at us and think that some of the things we're doing are bizarre. We don't think so. Something just goes wrong, and within 2 days or 3 days, 500 people dead. And then the foreign media screams, "This place must be a jungle." No, we say, no, it's propaganda. It's propaganda. They should mind their own business and leave us alone. Let us continue to kill ourselves. We do not realize there are universal standards. So we can afford to be government officials, get speech writers to write a speech the way it should be written. Then we read it knowing we are lying. And people all over the country to sit in front of the TV listening to a liar. We know it's a lie. Yet when we see the person, hey, Ranka Dede, Babake, Ogasa, it's a liar. The standards are clear, straight. A lie is a lie. And if it's a leader that is lying, it's a disaster. It's coming back. You can celebrate the person and give the person a chieftaincy title. But it will come back to meet you. Denial. Even in the law court, when an accused person quickly admits his or her wrong and pleads for leniency, judges tend to be merciful. Because the person has saved everybody from wasting their resources and their time. We need to learn to be genuinely remorseful. Things are not the way they should be. And we need to admit so. We're not meeting God's standards, and we need to ask for the change to begin with us. I'll tell you this. With God, obedience is better than sacrifice. And if we ask him for help, because 1 John 1:9 there says, "But if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I pray in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, that this environment will not successfully corrupt you. It will not corrupt your destiny. Your testimony will be Romans 6:14. Sin shall not have dominion over you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. We need to restore the fear of God into our hearts. God is not wicked, but he is dangerous. Electricity is not wicked, it is dangerous. God is not wicked, but God is dangerous. And he says that this season he will expose hypocrisy. He will shame insecurity. All the things done out of insecurity will expose them. Righteousness will pay. In our country, people who don't steal, who make money legitimately, will become more prosperous than those who are stealing. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will it profit a man, Jesus asked. Mark 8:35. If a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul, why should a man give his soul in exchange for a car? Or his soul in exchange for a house or for a job? They are not worth it. If you steal all the money in the world, build houses all over this city. If war breaks out here, they will bomb your houses to pieces. You will run away with a handbag, struggling to preserve your life. Then you will appreciate that your life is more valuable than those buildings. They are not worth it. Amen. It's not worth the loss. God will help you. God will help me. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, you will not fail. You will not falter. My God will strengthen you. Whatever weakness has the potential to sink your destiny, God will sink it on your behalf. The grace of God will be sufficient for you. His strength will be made perfect in your weakness. Where Satan got you to fail before, when he comes this week, he will meet the power of God in that part of your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Whatever you may lose for now, choosing to stand for the truth, God will restore 1,000-fold into your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the person in this service who has not known Jesus as Lord and Savior. That honest person, that the power of God will rest on your life and that the Spirit of God will help you today and bring forgiveness.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@daystarng.org. Join us for any of our three services at 7 a.m., 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikose Road, Oregon, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website, www.daystarng.org, or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.